Today on the agenda, we have a review of the CR feedback, candidate recommendation feedback, an update to the implementation report to see where we are on that, and then trying to formulate a plan for the proposed recommendation phase. Anything else that we should discuss today? Anything else that we should add to the agenda?
Yeah. Nicholas raised an issue last week that a option to the from RDF algorithm got lost during a rewrite.
Okay.
And there were no tests for it since we weren't testing options.
Okay. So we will count that as a CR issue, a candidate rec issue. I think we have another one, which is the OData alignment. There is a thread in there that we should really respond to as a result of the CR process. Afternoon, Marcus.
Hi, morning.
Okay. You are up to scribe today. Would you mind? Okay, thank you. Okay, so two additions to the agenda. We'll put this under the CR feedback. Speaking of feedback, I'm getting a lot of feedback audio-wise. Thank you. We'll put the two items under the candidate rec feedback, meaning we need to talk about the from RDF issue that Nicholas raised, the option being missing, and we need to also talk about the OData alignment. Anything else? Any other changes to the agenda before we get started? All right, let's pick up the candidate rec feedback. We had two basic items that I think those are the only piece of the feedback we have. Does anybody else know of any other feedback that we got during the CR period that we should address? Okay. Let's take Nicholas's item first. So I think it's here. Nicholas, you want to give us a bit of background on this issue?
Sure. Just testing. Do you hear me all right?
Yes.
Great. I don't have my headset, so I don't know how this could work out. I think that the trouble is that we used to have an option to the serialized RDFS JSON LD algorithm, a flag, and right now it is missing. It only says that the algorithm takes two required inputs, an RDF dataset and the use native types. So the option for, I don't remember what the name was.
Use RDF type.
Right, use RDF type. It's missing. And that was needed in cases where you want to use your own term or, well, the full IRI for RDF type. In the cases I've come across, mainly it's the case where I want to ensure that the token for type always has a JSON array as a value. And since there is no way to set the container for the @type keyword, there is no way to control that via any such mechanism. Therefore, if you have RDF and you serialize it at JSON LD, you may want to forego the usage of the @type keyword altogether and just use a regular link. And then in the common case, in my case, I would define a term, such as type, and then say that it has the at type value of at ID and or vocal specifically, and then just the container set, and there would be no problem. Then the data I would create as JSON-LD would be deterministic in terms of the type value always being in an array. There are also other possible needs where you, for instance, might want to have the value type be an object in its own right, so that you could, for instance, search on things. If you index RDF in Elasticsearch or something, you might want to have the type as an object and put the label of the type in there as well, or something like that. That's more of a speculative demand. But I've seen a case where that could have come in handy, although in the end it didn't turn out to be.
Right. So looking at the comments, the issue comments, it looks like it was definitely a mistake, or it was a bug that was introduced in the spec to remove this, or that the removal of it created a bug. If we treat it as a last call comment saying that we accidentally introduced a bug in the CR spec, then I don't think that there are any W3C process issues. We'll have to double check with Sandro and Yvonne to make sure that that's correct, but I think that that's one of the purposes of the CR, is to make sure that implementers can tell us if there are any mistakes in the spec and those can be fixed. There's still the question of that Marcus raised, which was what we look for. So we've got some variability in the spec now. So do we look for at type or RDF type or both? Was that resolved before, or?
I think we just treat it like any other property.
Meaning we look for both?
So in the from RDF, it just avoids a step. So it turns into JSON-LD without an at type, but just with another property that happens to use the RDF type URI. And every place else, when that has been turned into JSON-LD, it's just dealt with like any other property. And that's what allows you to create a context that specifies that there is a container array, right, or container
right.
set, rather, on for that particular predicate.
Right.
I think the question is interesting in its own right in JSON-LD in general, because JSON-LD could come from any kind of creation, so if you just create manual JSON-LD and you would use RDF type or a token for that or anything, there would be no way to prevent that. We don't say that it's illegal in JSON-LD to use the full IRI as a regular link.
Yeah.
And there is no, as far as I know, no treatment in compaction and expansion to look for properties being RDF type and then turning them into app type, unless I miss something.
Right.
I did a Q plus in order to just talk about the procedural issue, which gets into sort of the final report. If presumably that we put this back in, it would be reasonable then to have tests for it. Yet we've sort of frozen the test suite, and we have made the call for implementations. So I'm not exactly sure what the implications of that are.
Yeah, this is we're in gray area now, because if we're talking about something that we didn't spec text that we did not have in the spec before, that would probably be a pretty good argument to send us back into another last call, which would be pretty terrible and we want to avoid. So there are multiple ways out of that. The first is to basically say that, you know, all the implementations are going to implement this feature, but we would not end up changing the spec. And in that case, it's just kind of like, you know, the spec is out of sync with reality. But we would be able to get to a rec with it and then perhaps put that stuff in the errata. The other option is to go back to another LC, which would slow us down by like 2 months, which I don't think any of us want to do. And the other third option is to put the spec text that was in there back into the spec. But I don't. I'm wondering, Marcus, was the spec text in there before? Did it look at add type and RDF type, or did it? Was that not considered?
Sorry, which type I was writing?
It was I'll scribe for you. The comment at the very, very end that you made in this in issue 91, you said, shall we look for add type or RDF colon type or both? Is that
no,
new
I think
spec text?
That's something we really never discussed before. And
no,
there was
no,
definitely no text in the spec regarding that.
Really? Because I remember having implemented it based upon our resolution, and I thought the text might have gone in. Did you look at a version of the spec from back after it was resolved?
Are you now talking about the use RDF type flag or the last comment I made? Because
I'm sorry, perhaps I'm...
Things.
Oh, I must be out of sync then. Sorry.
Well, I'm confused as well.
I think the question as I understood it was, did we previously have spec text for how to deal with this option? And I thought we did. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the comment I referenced, but I also raised another question, and that's if you use that flag, how does a consumer of that data then know whether to look for S type or RDF type, because that flag is just, you know, you can't you don't see it in the context or somewhere, so you would have to look for both, but that's the case anyway, as Nicholas said before.
Okay, so we're talking about two issues.
Yeah.
The first issue, the use RDF type flag, there's a clear resolution for. There was spec text that was removed that should not have been removed. And we should be able to put that spec text back in the document. So that one we can resolve pretty easily, I think. The second issue, which is what Marcus raised, was what do people look for? Do they look for add type or RDF type or both? And since we have not discussed that before, we are probably not going to be able to do anything with that issue and get to rec quickly. If we want to address that issue, then we are probably going to have to go through another last call. Unless
we can address it quite simply by saying people always have to look for both.
Yeah, which is not, that's not ideal, right? So this is a problem. This is kind of like a backwards compatibility concern in that if we change this in the future, markup is going to be different. The result of compaction and expansion is going to be different from the JSON LD 1.0.
Another option to consider is creating another spec, a CG spec that updates the algorithm to deal with this. I think we've talked about that. Normalization was thrown out. I think there was the API for the RDF conversion was put into another spec document, which I think still exists in GitHub.
Right.
This might be a way of dealing with that. I expect, as a CG, that we will continue to be active as JSON-LD gets more adoption, and we need to do more things like this. So this might be way to kick that off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I agree. Also, I think that I think that sort of relates to the this issue in that, for one, the fix putting this flag back sort of just acknowledges this current state that there are many ways to express type in reality, and this just makes it possible to do that in the serialized algorithm, for better or worse, and also that the CD work might want to address all of this in general, even looking at ways to set containers, set for type, and things like that.
Okay. Okay, so let's, does anyone object to fixing the bug and reintroducing the use RDF type flag in here?
Well, I think from what Nicholas was just suggesting was that maybe we can just leave this to a follow-on spec, which would imply to me that we not fix the existing spec text that we're exiting CR on.
Well, I guess my concern there would be that Nicholas's use case is not going to be handled by a generic JSON-LD processor if we do that. It's going to be another, like, you know, year to 2 years before you actually have some spec text in there that says people should be doing this. I don't know if that's an issue or not for you, Nicholas.
Yeah, I think it is. I really didn't mean to say that we shouldn't put it back.
Okay.
Well, I guess what I was suggesting was that we might have some document that would not necessarily be a 1.1 RDFA API, but would be a supplementary note or CG, I don't know what kind of documents CGs publish on their own, but I can imagine that there might be other things that we want to do. There's always going to be a question of, well, will people implement any extensions that we might make?
Right. I think that the core of my concern here is that we are talking about something that is fairly deeply involved with the from and to RDF conversion stuff. And it goes in the current algorithms we're publishing, I think, right? Or the option at least does.
Yeah, I think that this would make it clear that certain serializations from RDF to JSON-LD want to treat type as something with a keyword and treat that with container set. And I mean, the issue for me came up recently when I was following the schema.org discussions, and they are discussing lots about the various benefits of using multiple types, and thus it's kind of disturbing that certain systems would fail on that kind of data, because there would be no standardized way of at all of ensuring that serializations to JSON-LD have as the type the type value as an array at all times. It's not a problem in Elasticsearch, but unless you write code checks for that, so certain things like AngularJS API or services editors would fail on that, which I've come across. So
I don't know that this is necessarily the right time to discuss alternatives, but we might consider doing something like that with an option, for instance, an option to compact and expand that would do what you suggest, that would allow us to preserve the use of that type and would avoid a lot of these variations, since implementations do need to be prepared for the value of that type to be an array. If you had an option that said always use an array, you would achieve what you wanted without having to deal with this variation on whether at type or RDF type is used.
Yeah, that's certainly true. I would prefer that in principle as well.
All right.
But I don't know.
Well, okay, so we have a pretty solid proposal in front of us, which is reinstate use RDF type. And if we decide not to do that, that doesn't work for Nicholas, or it seems like it wouldn't work for Nicholas. We could always do what Greg is saying, which is we could have an extension spec that adds another option that you know, addresses the issue in a more correct way. But I guess the question is back to, do we want to reintroduce use RDF type? Is that enough of a short-term fix for Nicholas, or does the group just think that that's not the correct long-term solution and we probably want to do something else? Marcus, here on the queue.
Well, the question I ask myself is, do we really need to specify all of this? I mean, every implementation can do what it wants, basically, but do we need to require an implementation to do that or to support that? Because if we do that, we also have to update the test suite, as Greg said, and that might require us to do another last call. I'm not sure about that. But even if that option is not in the standard, implementations can still well support it, and I think all implementations I'm aware of do support it anyway. And the other thing is that the API doesn't even have the to and from RDF methods anymore, so it won't be standardized in that sense anyway.
But
yeah.
Having the option would make it clear that there is a possible variability there. And there is already that, because you could always produce JSON-LD in any other way, which would use...
Yeah, I completely agree. I just don't find it, well, important enough to potentially go through another last call.
No, I agree. Could we make the condition that we reinstate this if it doesn't require us to do that? I would expect it wouldn't, because as noted, it's been there and we have a resolution for it.
Okay, so there are multiple options here. So some of these options will require us to do another LC, right? So the one that doesn't require us to do another LC is to just put use RDF type flag back in there. And that's it. We don't elaborate on how it should work or how at type and RDF type should be coalesced and things of that nature. If we end up doing that and we end up having to add, you know, test items to the test suite or test cases to the test suite, then that's a pretty strong signal that we did not actually intend this feature to go in here, or at least we did not think it through enough, and we should probably go through another last call. So that would trigger another last call. I think the third option is to do basically what Greg's saying, and since Marcus has pointed out, we don't have a from RDF and to RDF algorithm in the specs that we're taking to REC right now. We do have it in a separate spec, and we could take this feature and put it in that separate spec, because it really has to do with the to and from RDF algorithms. If I'm right, I mean, the only time this use RDF type flag is used is in the to and from RDF algorithms. Is that true?
It's from RDF.
Just from.
So that probably means that we could just think through the problem in more detail and come up with a proper solution and put it in the to and from RDF spec instead of putting it in this in the current spec that's going to REC. And that will allow us to – go ahead.
It's in the algorithm spec that it's missing, because this problem is – I would expect – encountered this problem in, for instance, a Java environment or some other kind of environment where I produce it on the server side, and it's the algorithm that's the right place to send the message that there is a variability here. Of course, the API must reflect that if there is such a variability, but I think that the algorithm is at the core of where this message needs to be explicit.
Okay, so then the fourth option is, the fourth option is a modification of option A, which is reintroduce use RDF type in whatever we can reintroduce without triggering another LC. Is that right? Meaning that we could maybe do something with coalescing a type in RDF type if we had something like that in the spec previously. You know, I kind of doubt that we did. I'm currently going through the spec trying to see if we have any language in here.
There's nothing now. I pasted in the text that existed before that Paul referenced. It's pretty simple. I guess my opinion is that we update the spec with the description of how to use the use RDF type option. We don't add a test for it.
Okay. That seems fine to me. It's a little shaky, but I think that would hold up.
Well, I guess my worry would be that someone would call us on it and we would be forced into another LC.
Yeah.
Of course, the other option we have here is that we defer this to the RDF working group, or at least to have a discussion with Hoos and Dave.
Yeah, let's have the discussion with the W3C staff first, because this is really a process issue, and there's no reason to get the entire RDF working group involved until we understand what the process roadblocks are.
Okay, however, on tomorrow's call, the fact that we're now out of CR will bring up the issue about are we ready to put together what we need for the PR transition.
Yeah, and I think the response to that is, yes, we are ready. We found a bug in the spec, and we're currently trying to figure out if we can fix that bug and not trigger another LC. If it triggers another LC, we probably will not fix that bug, and we will just go forward in as a wreck. And Nicholas, what's being unsaid there is that we will fix it elsewhere, and we will, you know, gather implementations around that fix, meaning that the implementations will be able to do what you want them to do. It just won't be in the core spec. That goes
direct. I think that's good. I wouldn't want this to force us into another LC. And I think that in the long term, the ideas that Greg and also I have had around it is probably more effective. But we don't yet know if that has adverse effects elsewhere, so we couldn't really hope for it, which is why I think this is a good addition today. And also, if we had something like that in the other in an update somewhere, this option would just be sort of less useful in the future. I don't think that introducing the option does create anything problematic, because, as said, there are many other ways to produce this kind of shape of data other than using the algorithm.
Okay. So is this what the consensus is then, that we are going to reintroduce, use RDF type, and update the spec text to reflect that option existing, and that's it?
Well, I think that we do need to consider what the sort of the long-term strategy for the test suite is. The RDFA test suite continued to have evolution all the way up to final rec.
Right.
Now, that's slightly different because we had the ability to independently test all the implementations separately to determine that we didn't change anything.
Right.
On the other hand, if we did add a test for this, I think we could show two implementations implementing it pretty easily, even though others wouldn't.
Right. I'm wondering if we could just not add the test.
Yeah, I'm just wondering.
Deal with it after the fact.
Right. Well, it was the after the fact question is really what I was raising. Is
yeah.
After we say get the PR, is it reasonable to continue making changes to the test suite?
I think so, yeah. I mean, the one thing that we don't really want to do is just have this completely frozen in stone and not be able to react to bugs or updates or new, you know, requirements for JSON-LD processors, right? So I think we have a frozen test suite that people use to get through CR, and that's great. So we have, you know, we have something frozen, and everyone knows what was required to get through CR. But let's say in 6 or 7 months we find a need out in the wild to have another option or another feature in the API, we should be able to add that and add a test to it, add a test to the test suite without having to go through a full, you know, spec revision, right? So basically what I'm saying is that, you know, we have JSON-LD, the living standard. We have a version of it that's frozen at W3C that people can implement against, but the test suite should track what reality is, not necessarily what the frozen spec at W3C is. And the hope is that those are going to be fairly aligned, but that might not be true, you know, in 18 months. Or there may be small bits of it where that's not true in 18 months. Did that help clarify?
I think that corresponds to my feelings.
Okay. Does anyone disagree with that general approach to the test suite and developing JSON-LD over the next 18 months to 2 years?
Yeah, I still have some concerns that since we have other options, like all the other options, and they do have tests, that we're having a little bit of hand-wavium going on here. We have all these options. Oh, and they have tests. Oh, well, here's another option, but we just don't look at the man behind the curtain type of thing. I'm worried that that's going to be the reaction from W3C, the process, and the bigger group as a whole. That's my only real concern about.
So if
putting
that's
it back
the
in, I mean,
if that is the reaction, we can rip the option out and just say, fine, you know, we believe that this is the right thing to do, but because it's causing a W3C process violation, we will take it out of the spec and fix it later. So we're deviating from reality because of W3C process. They hate hearing that. So that might be convincing. But if it's not, we just don't put it in the spec and go on without it. Although I do think that your feeling on that is spot on. Marcus?
Yeah, just a very quick question, because I think we kind of have control over all the implementations that are currently in the implementation report. Can't we simply add the test and run the report again? Because in the CR exit criteria, we stated that the group will decide when the test suite is of, enough quality or whatever to test interoperability.
And that's a very good point.
First of October is just the earliest date, so that doesn't mean we have to exit today. We can also exit tomorrow.
That is an excellent point. I think that gives us a way out. I think we can do that. So we're basically going to remain in CR, or the group has decided that we're going to remain in CR because of this bug in the spec. We're going to add something to the test suite, make sure that all the implementations implemented correctly, rerun the implementation report, and as long as we have two interoperable implementations, we're good.
I like how that sounds.
Okay. All right. Then let's try that. So we're going to remain in CR for another week, and add one more test to the test suite and make sure that the implementations pass it. Okay. Does that work for everybody?
Yes.
Okay. So here's a proposal. The JSON LD. Let's see. JSON LD 1.0 and the API will remain in candidate rec for an additional bug in the spec. Use our CRDF. Type flag.
By the way, good call, Marcus, on that.
Yeah, very good. Greg, you're on the queue.
I put that there since it doesn't relate directly to the current topic, but sort of comes between now and the final report. So
okay, we'll talk about that. Yeah, I think we have an item at the end of the agenda that talks about that. Okay, there's the proposal. Any changes to it? Okay. And I think this is boxed well enough. The feature is boxed well enough that should work as far as W3C process is concerned. I'll still need to pass it by Yvonne and Sandra, but that should work. I think the only counter argument to this is that we are asking implementers to implement something that is not in the CR spec. But we are also pointing it out to, you know, all of the implementers to tell them, hey, this is, you know, something that's changing. We want feedback on this during the CR period, and we can use that as an argument to change the spec after we come out of CR. Okay. Anything else on this topic before we move to the next topic? All right, the next topic is OData alignment. Let's see. Okay, so we got some feedback from Microsoft, Michael Pizzo at Microsoft, on a suggestion on how we could align JSON LD with OData. It seemed that the conversation was a bit confused. I'll go ahead and put the conversation in here. Okay, so basically what Michael Pizzo is asking us to do is change it so that we use at JSONLD dot as the prefix for all JSONLD quote-unquote keywords. So he basically wants us to do something like at JSONLD dot type. So basically stuff like that. So at JSONLD type, at JSONLD.context, all that kind of stuff. And we can basically do that if we just alias keywords. So I'm confused as to exactly what Microsoft is trying to go for here. It seems that part of it is not quite understanding that JSONLD is a bit lower level than OData, and another part of it I think is confusion over aliasing. I think what Michael is basically talking about is kind of a best practice, but it completely overlooks the case of us wanting to do like dot notation. Like if we prefixed everything with at JSONLD dot something else or something dot something, all of a sudden it becomes very difficult to address those variables in JavaScript using just standard JavaScript object notation. So there's that downside to it. And the other issue here is that you could actually build OData on top of JSONLD. It doesn't need to be, OData does not need to be this separate thing. It could be built on top of JSONLD fairly easily, mostly because, OData is more of like a schema mechanism than what JSONLD is. So there are a number of issues here. I don't know if anybody else got a better idea or better read on what Michael Pizzo was getting at in the thread. Greg, you're on the queue.
Well, just to point out, one problem with this is putting a dot in a key is, I believe, incompatible with Mongo. It doesn't like dots in keys. And, of course, this could be, I think, as has been pointed out, for every keyword except context, this could be handled with an alias in the context. I am sympathetic to wanting to be able to use some form of a JSONLD sort of namespace type of thing, so that we don't, for instance, tread over some other use of at keys in some other hypothetical JSON spec. And you might imagine that perhaps there's some way that you could create a regular expression that would match things, for instance, discard everything. If you have an at keyword, then extract everything following some separator, such as dot in this case or something else, which would allow for arbitrary namespacing.
Well, another way to look at this is that JSONLD dot could be the default namespace, and then we don't have to change anything. So if somebody wanted to use this namespacing idea, if you see at context and there's no dot there, then you presume that after the at JSONLD dot is the default namespace.
I guess fundamentally I don't understand what problem this solves. I mean, the problem it's solving seems like a meta problem, which is basically we want to have a whole bunch of different JSON-based meta languages, and we want to have a clear way of namespacing the meta languages, you know. And I think the assumption here is that these meta languages might be used together. So you might use JSON-LD and OData in the same document. And to me, that just seems like, I mean, where does that problem exist? I don't understand where that problem exists. And if someone is doing that, then they're probably over-engineering the problem. It's just...
Well, it's very similar to, do I include both microdata and RDFA markup in my HTML?
Right.
Which people do against advice. So here would be, do I use both OData and JSON-LD, or I think JSON schema is something that comes up from time to time as well.
Nicholas, you're on the queue.
Yeah, I just completely agree with everything said here. They're trying to turn JSON into XML so that you could have some sort of structural interoperability, but that solves nothing, as you've seen in the past. RDF is the way to do that, and JSON-LD is a much more direct path towards such interoperability. This would just introduce structural, syntactic, possible interoperability, but it would align no semantics to be able to treat the data in a similar way.
Yeah, I'm, one of the things we tried going down the OData route early on, which we ended up abandoning for JSON-LD, by the way. Some of the features that they have in there with like their vocabularies and whatnot do allow it to be aligned more with an RDF, some RDF concepts. So they might be trying to leverage JSON-LD to provide that. Without talking with them and having them on the call or having them on there, it's hard to tell exactly what they're wanting, but that might be what's going on. Because that's one of the areas that we were looking into with OData, is to be able to essentially annotate the OData requests or responses and such with RDF and semantic web concepts.
And you can already sort of do what they seem to want to do, which is have a message that has lots of different properties, some that are understood by different parties and some that are not. That already happens, and you just do it, you know, you have URLs for things, and you have a context that will define keys for the URLs that you understand, and it will ignore the URLs that you don't, and you don't have to do anything with them. So that entire idea already exists with JSON-LD.
Yeah, that's why we went the route we did, is because it was just so much more flexible.
Right. And I guess if Microsoft wants to align, you know, OData with JSON-LD, there's nothing to stop them using the @odata.namespace, right? They just
right.
in the OData spec, they just say, okay, if you want to layer OData on top of JSON-LD, just use @odata.whatever. For your keys, and you're done. I don't think that we need to change anything in the spec. So there are two options here, two broad options here. The first option is we update all of the JSON-LD keywords to have an @JSON-LD.prefix at the beginning. Downside of that is that it'll force us to go through another last call. We're going to have to update every single implementation. And it is not clear to the group what that actually buys us, other than alignment with the way OData is doing stuff. And that seems to be just a meta problem, right?
It also breaks a bunch of existing data that's out there.
Right, yep. And makes it harder for it to work with Mongo. There's a slew of issues with doing this change. The other option is that OData just adds apps, since they want to do namespacing. I don't think this group really wants to do namespacing in the way that they're describing it. But if somebody wants to do namespacing like OData, you can add @odata. To the beginning of every single one of your variables, or sorry, every single one of your OData keywords, and be completely aligned with JSON-LD. None of the JSON-LD implementations have to change, and you know, you've got that, you've kind of got that sort of alignment, and we're basically saying that anything that starts with an ad is a special, you know, meta keyword. And so I think, you know, that would allow you to mix OData data with JSON-LD data, and I think everything would end up working out fairly well. We need to have a little deeper discussion with them on that. And it sounds like what the group is agreeing with is that we would probably want to do the latter and not the former. Meaning if they want to use at odata dot, then they should feel free to go ahead and do that. Any other thoughts on this?
Yeah, the other another thing to consider is on their JSON, in their JSON format for odata, they're using just application / JSON, I believe. So they're headed up with a and then semicolon odata. So I guess that they are kind of putting it in, but it's they're really doing it keyed more off of just pure JSON. So I mean, having if they want to apply with their odata to JSON-LD, that would wouldn't require them to use the JSON the LD plus JSON content type, but it'd be strongly recommended, I would think.
Yeah.
That the group is right, that this is a solution that's desperately seeking a problem.
Uh-huh.
And there's not really a problem to find.
Right. So what we might want to do is give that group the benefit of the doubt and get them on the call next week so that we can talk about this in more detail. Since we're already extending CR for another week, we're not going to be able to make a decision to go to the proposed rec phase, so let's try and get them on the call and talk about it in much more depth, and hopefully that will result in some kind of agreement.
Clarity.
Yep, clarity. Yep.
This is not unlike the activity streams group that is interested in JSON-LD, does not want to use a JSON-LD MIME type, and also does not want to add a context keyword if they want to use otherwise the JSON-LD syntax, in which case they might specify a syntax to use, particularly if they were to use some other MIME type. So
yeah.
I think we're going to see things like this, and I think that we have a strategy for people to deal with.
Yep.
The very basic idea that they're saying they want to avoid conflicts between term names and keywords and other important information misses the point of context in JSON-LD. That's what it's there for.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll go ahead and respond to him and then ask him to be on the call next week and then take it from there. Okay, anything else on this issue before we go forward? Okay. The rest of the agenda is somewhat, we could go over it very quickly. The implementation reports, we have to basically wait on for this new test to be added to it.
We also need an update from Java JSON-LD. I had a private communication from Peter Ansel, and they're sort of prepping things, and I think we might get an updated report out of them shortly, so giving another week is useful for that, although they're likely to fail 65 tests due to problems they have in correct ordering and naming of B-nodes.
Okay. Well, I mean, we'll just have to wait and see. What happens there. They've actually been very good at getting their implementations kind of fixed in those cases. And it might be that we might want to extend the CR period until they fix the vast majority of those just to make sure that there aren't any issues if they think they can do it in time. So, Greg, if you don't mind kind of continuing that conversation with them and asking them you know, when they think they might be done, because we're kind of holding, we'll hold the CR period open for them as long as we can, but if it's going to be like, you know, 4 more weeks, we can't wait that long.
Yeah, I think what I heard from Peter was that neither Peter nor Tristan, who had sort of initiated all of this, are heavily active in the project right now. It's being, there is a lot of work going on, but it's by other members. I don't know. It might be worth also bringing Andy in.
Andy Seaborn?
Seaborn, he would have some interest in, at least in the Jenna mapping of it.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Yeah. Do you mind doing that set of communication with them to try and coordinate that?
Sure, I will, yeah.
Okay, thanks. Okay, and then, of course, Greg, you updated the implementation reports, thank you, with Marcus's updates and a number of other Python updates and things like that, right?
Yeah, that's it's all up to date with respect to yesterday, and it shows, what do we have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 implementations, 6 of which have 100% coverage.
Yeah, which is great. The one argument that's going to be used against the group is that many of those implementations came from people in the group.
Before the issue that Gavin had raised in the working group was not necessarily that people in the same group did it, but I think he was under the impression that the difference, that the Python and PHP implementations were machine translations of the JavaScript implementation.
Oh, no.
Yeah, arguably, of course, the browser and Node. I corrected him on that. Yes, right. Arguably, the JSONLD browser and Node versions are not adequately different to warrant different, to be considered as being different for the purposes of this. But certainly given that we have the coverage we do, there's no harm in doing that.
Hopefully I'll have a time to have a go at sending in a report for the JSONLD and RDF lib as well. I had no time for that recently, but given this extended week, I might find a window for it. It's in Python, and it's separate from the other sharing notes.
And I think it would be useful somehow for the group to encourage implementations in C or something which would be appropriate for adding to Redland, I know, or to
Raptor.
I know Dave has no interest in implementing one himself, but he's sympathetic to someone else doing it.
Yeah.
And I think it's ultimately going to be very important, since performance of JSONLD parsers, in my opinion, will become, as an interchange format, will become paramount.
Yeah,
we can point them. We have an old C++ one that we can also point someone at if they wanted to adapt that for C.
Yeah, I think the biggest problem being that, you know, writing C implementations are painful and take, you know, four times longer than the other implementations. So,
it'll happen sometime, I feel.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. All I'm saying is I think everyone in this group is very, very busy.
I don't imagine anyone here will, but over time I would hope, perhaps by the time we have a 1.1 version, we could try to coerce someone else into doing it.
Right. You need a willing victim.
Yeah. Someone who needs it. It'll be someone who really needs it, like Gavin, for instance.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm not able to do anything with our C+ or C# one, so I can't even get the report out.
You have a C# implementation. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Anything else on the implementations? Okay, our plan for proposed rec then right now it sounds like.
Well, I did have the point I raised a bit ago about the W3C space version of the test suite.
All right. We're not going to freeze that until we get this extra test in there, and then we can sync it.
Yeah, my question was, if we do sync it, I'm wondering whether it will actually work properly running from a different location. Because we do have, we do expect jsonld.org in there, and there are places where it's not simply the case you can add a base to every test if it's running from some other place, because we,
right,
we expect the base to be implicit. So I'm just wondering whether anyone else has looked at that issue and determined whether there's something else we might need in the test suite to ensure that if it were run from W3C space, it would actually work.
Well, there's a bunch of Ruby stuff in there, right? Here, am I misremembering? The test suite has a bunch of Ruby bindings.
There's no...
There isn't.
No, there's no Ruby involved with this. The only Ruby that's there is for... I think we use that to generate some of the variations in the vocabulary.
Okay.
But there's the test suite itself isn't entirely just run from... There's some HT access that's required. But the results... look for jsonld.org in many of the relative URIs that are expanded.
Okay.
So it would be equivalent. I know. I think Dave perhaps has been running it off of localhost. If there's some instruction for how to run it from an alternative location, then that would be useful to put into, say, the W3C wiki. On the JSONLD test suite.
Well, what the problem is, it would require you to make the remote document tests return back alternative. You have to provide this other implementation that fakes the HTTP stuff essentially.
Yeah, so I see that as a somewhat of an issue for. Potentially relying, because the W3C version of this is intended to basically be there forever, whereas the jsonld.org is there as long as someone wants to continue to host it and pay for the domain, which is perhaps somewhat short of forever.
Right.
Wouldn't the simplest thing be to just put everything on w3c.org and ask Sandra to, well, check the HTXS? So that the redirect and that stuff works, and then we simply run it from there.
So that would involve changing the test suite, the expected results to use W3C space. That's also not entirely compatible with our continuing to host it in jsonld.org in order to create more of a living test suite, which is, I think, what we said we wanted to be able to do.
Yeah, we're going to run into conflicts.
We could just revert that change after we freeze it in a tank or something.
Well, I think the way that this worked, say, for Turtle, is to basically say that that everything should be run as if it were run from the NW3C location. So if there were something that could be done when running off of jsonld.org, maybe it is a matter of using an implied base unless it's specified with an option, and then updating the expected results to be based upon the W3C location.
But if I remember correctly, we have a property in every manifest which specifies the base array, doesn't it?
We have an option that can be added to any test which specifies the base IRI.
I think we also have, let me have a look. If think we also have one at the manifest level.
I don't think so.
Yeah, there's something data.
In the vocabulary, there is a base property that has a domain of test.
Just based on the link in IRC, if you click there, we have a base RI, for example, in index event manifest.
It's not described in the vocabulary.
Well, and that still wouldn't resolve the issue of doing fetching remote documents. You still need to change those URLs.
You know, all the documents are specified as relative IRIs.
So you could just
accept.
Yeah, but
oh,
when
you get them back from
HTTP, it's going to tell you the wrong thing. You're going to get back this the incorrect location URL.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, but well.
Well, then maybe the answer is that we do mandate that the test has to be run as if it is coming out of the jsonld.org/test suite base, even if it is retrieved from some other place. So the purpose of keeping it in W3Z space is as a sort of a second resort.
Yeah, and I think those instructions are fairly easy to write. So the idea here is you need to set up a local Apache web server. You need to have an entry in your center host file that has jsonld.org point to your local host. And then basically check out a version of the jsonld.org repository either from W3C or GitHub at the proper version, you know, the proper date or the proper get revision or mercurial revision, and that's it. That's all you have to do. And then you can basically hit jsonld.org/test suite/tests and get whatever you need to. You'd be able to run the entire test suite locally at that point. So how about we do that? Because that sounds like the simplest way to do this. And the idea that most people are going to want to run this this older test suite, so like in 18 months, the idea that people would want to run this test suite is probably not a very compelling idea. They would probably want to just run against whatever the latest test suite is. Right? This stuff exists for historical reasons, mostly historical purposes. Any objections to taking that approach to this? We basically just, you know, we mirror everything that we have already been mirroring, the entire jsonld.org website at W3C, and then we add some instructions on how to run the test suite locally if people want to do that for a specific revision.
All right, so there's a wiki. I just pointed the URL into the location that the spec references that certainly requires some update about expecting stable copies. I think that would be the place to add such text.
Also keep in mind that those instructions would have to include htaccess files and things like that.
The htaccess files presumably are part of the test archive.
Okay.
They are. Okay, all right, that sounds...
Can someone take an action then to update this page accordingly?
Well,
yeah,
I'll
take an action.
Write a zip file with the stable one and put that in the repo as well. and sync that into W3C so someone can just download it.
Sorry, I didn't follow that, Marcus. What was that again?
Well, we could simply zip the stable test suite or the frozen test suite and upload that as well to W3C.org, and that's it.
I think what I've seen done with other test suites is the directory structure is replicated within the W3C, and I think that would, for us, it would pretty much just work if that the test suite directory was copied over, but that also include within that directory a various archive versions of it.
So I have a pretty clear idea of what needs to be done with the instructions, and they're pretty straightforward. So why don't I go ahead and write up the documentation on how to do this, because it's only going to be a couple of lines. The W3C has required us in the past to mirror everything over. So with specifically talking about the test suite, really, you know, if somebody wants to do a historical test, there's a fairly simple set of instructions that they can follow to do that. So I will go ahead and document those.
Now, one way to do that, I'm sorry, is this JSON-LD tests does not need to point to a wiki. It could actually point to our existing test suite, or it could point to a copy of our existing test suite directory, which is, you know, appropriately HTML formatted. And if we were then to just add the appropriate instructions to that test suite index page, I think that would have the desired effect.
Well, except that it lives off of the W3C site, right?
Yeah, so but it would be basically a copy of that portion of the jsonld.org website placed there and just ensured that it actually does what we expect it to.
Right. Okay, I'll write up some instructions preliminary and then get feedback from the group, and then we can iterate on that. All right, any other comments on this? Okay, our plan for proposed rec, I think right now, is we're going to delay CR by a week. To try and get these updates to the test suite done and the new spec text added. The assumption here is that Marcus, you're gonna reintroduce the spec text, and Greg, you're gonna add a test suite test. Is that correct?
Yes.
I will add a test for user RDF type.
Okay, great, thank you. And then Marcus, I heard you say yes for the update to the spec text. Once we do that, we will need to announce it to the RDF Working Group mailing list and the JSON-LD mailing list, just to make sure everyone sees it. And we'll want to CC all the implementers on it to ask them to implement it ASAP. We're going to have the OData folks on the call next week, hopefully, to discuss that item. And once we finish discussing that, we can close down the CR issues, the issues that were raised during the CR period. We'll have official responses to those that go out. And hopefully by the end of the call next Tuesday, we will be able to move to CR. To PR, or recommend that the RDF Working Group moves to PR. If we can't do it next week, we'll do it the week after. And really, there are hardly any changes to the specs, so that should be fairly easy to do. They'll need to make the decision in the RDF Working Group, and then there has to be a delay of 7 days, and then there has to be a meeting of W3C management with the spec editors to move to PR so that we can review all the changes that were made. And then if that's done, the JSON-LD specs will be put to a vote at the World Wide Web Consortium. And so at that point, we're going to have to do a bunch of poking of companies, W3C member companies, for them to vote in the affirmative to publish these specs as recommendations. Any questions on that plan or timeline? So if we're lucky, we will have a rec in 4 to 5 weeks from now. All right. If there are no questions, go ahead.
So you said most of the companies actually do reply back that quickly?
Sorry. By companies, you mean W3C member companies?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, member companies, yeah.
There's probably going to be more like 6 to 8 weeks. There's usually a 4-week period for the PR voting.
How many votes? What are the requirements for voting?
It's completely like up. There are none. So the
I didn't
idea
know if
there
was like you had to have a certain
no.
number that they okay.
No, what they really look for are companies that vote against it. But that rarely ever happens. When something gets to the stage of PR, the idea that a member company would vote against it is highly unlikely. So what they're really looking for is support from two very big companies. So we can get Google to vote in the affirmative on it. We could probably get IBM to vote in the affirmative on it. Microsoft is up in the air, you know, depending on whether or not their OData forks agree with us or not. I think we can get Bloomberg to vote in the affirmative on it because they care about the web payment stuff, and we use JSON-LD for the web payment stuff. So between those huge companies, I think we have enough votes to meet the bare minimum for JSON-LD, and then everything else is kind of you know, icing. Yeah, everything else is a nice vote to have, but not absolutely required.
Okay.
Any other questions? All right. Thanks, everyone, for the call this week, and then we'll meet again next Tuesday to talk with the OData folks and see if we can get this stuff to push to PR. All right. Thanks, everyone. Have a good week.